Welcome back to the game here on News Radio KMAN. I like Finn Balor's music, his bum music. That's high quality right there. No face paint allowed in the studios. Gets all over the microphones. So, Final Four weekend is upon us. Women's Final Four starts tonight. Tomorrow, CBS, your first game starts at 5 o'clock Central Time. South Carolina, Gonzaga. So South Carolina's the underdog as opposed to Gonzaga, who's usually the underdog even when they've been good, right? You know,
yeah.
So they're the
you'd be correct.
They're the team that always was trying to get over and couldn't quite make it to the Final Four. South Carolina, they've never been to the Final Four as well. Maybe more shocking because South Carolina came in not good into the NCAA tournament. I think they lost like what, 4 or 5, something like that.
Yeah, they had a bad stretch.
Not a good, not the momentum you want rolling into the tournament. And then, of course, it becomes kind of everybody's favorite Cinderella, if there is one this year. It's certainly South Carolina, who comes in at 26-10. Gonzaga 36-1. Gonzaga, the Bulldogs, they're only lost that one loss to BYU, and they've been good all season. Now, here's the interesting one: is that both of these teams are defensive teams.
Right.
This could be kind of an ugly ball game, especially to start tomorrow, because you know that South Carolina is going to turn up the defense, probably even a better version of what you see from West Virginia, who is probably giving Gonzaga the biggest test of the tournament so far. So that's going to be interesting to see how that one starts. South Carolina, if they can put a few points up early, get the defensive pressure turned up early, that's why they played so well against Duke. And it could be an interesting ballgame. I expect this one to be a pretty close contest.
Gonzaga is a 7-point favorite, according to Vegas right now. 7 points.
They're really good on defense as well. Really
right.
Good. And they can they score. They got so many options. That's why I think this is going to be an interesting matchup, right? Because both teams really want to D it up. Gonzaga's got the advantage on the inside. Can Thornwell put up some points for South Carolina, and can they keep Gonzaga out of rhythm? West Virginia did it for a while. And can they continue to do it throughout the entire game? It's an interesting one. I'm interested to see angry Frank Martin versus I make no facial expressions Mark Few on the sidelines. This should be interesting just to see the faces that the coaches make.
And Gonzaga hasn't lost in a few months. Their only loss this season was to BYU, and that was at home. They only lost that game by 8 points. Ever since then, I mean, Gonzaga's been pretty solid. Like you mentioned, offensively or defensively, they're one of the best, but they don't really have history on their side. But defensively, they are fifth in the country in points allowed. They only average 61 points given up per game.
Yeah, it's good.
61.
It's good. And
that
they can score it, too. They can score it. So
they rebound very well.
Yeah, that might be the weak part of it. And South Carolina's good at forcing turnovers. They're averaging 14 turnovers forced in their 4 NCAA tournament games, and they've scored every one in the second half. Every single one of them in the second half. So they've been even better after they've had to adjust to halftime. They just throttled Duke in the second half.
Right.
I mean, just flat throttled Duke in the second half. It's been the flip for Gonzaga, actually. They've been better in the second half than the first half. I kind of love the matchup of this game. Gonzaga, the overwhelming favorite. I mentioned 7-point favorite, and I think on ESPN.com today that like 88% of the picks were going towards Gonzaga. It's a little bit more balanced when you look over at Oregon and North Carolina. That game is like 56% picking North Carolina to 43% picking Oregon. That North Carolina-Kentucky game, that's the one you've been waiting for the entirety of March Madness, where it was not one. It was like back-to-back last-second shots. That was a fantastic basketball
game. Oh, yeah.
So now the question is, can North Carolina continue to score and rebound at the rate that they've been? And does the lack of depth due to injury catch up to Oregon? And Oregon's been pretty good. I mean, obviously, they played a fantastic game against KU. I'm impressed with what they did against Kansas to see if they can do it against North Carolina, just because Oregon, it was all the tempo that they wanted to play in that game. They would not let KU get out and run. They limited the fact that, you know, KU probably had the better athletes, all that stuff. So it's a little bit of a surprise, but can they do it against North Carolina, probably a little bit deeper North Carolina team than the Ducks?
I think North Carolina is just hungry to get back to that title game because of what happened last year, losing on the buzzer beater in the national title game. That if you weren't a senior that year, you're hungry all year long just to get back into the spot you were last year. This one in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. Oregon is definitely a beatable team because, well, defensively is maybe kind of where I worry. I mean, KU, it just kind of felt like KU beat themselves a little bit at times because they're just not shooting the three ball well. They only made five a game, and that's, I mean, that's how KU goes on runs, right? KU will just kill you from three with Frank Mason, who shot 49 from three all year long. And I think Oregon kind of caused some breaks there. Well, North Carolina, they don't usually give you breaks in big-time situations.
Yeah.
They did allow Kentucky to come back, but that wasn't an easy comeback. And I'm talking in the final minute of the game when they were up 7 points.
Oh, yeah.
Kentucky had a four shots.
And they hit some crazy shots,
They're insane. They were well-contested, and they just happened to go in. That's where North Carolina, I don't think they'd let that happen again.
And Oregon, since when Butcher got hurt and he's unable to play after the Pac-12 tournament, they're only playing like six guys in their rotation. You know, they're really right now effectively six deep. They've played more than six guys, but effectively six deep. And I think that worked a little bit this year against Kansas because that's one of the knocks against KU is that they weren't super deep this year. North Carolina, that's going to be a tough one. So North Carolina has been incredible on the boards as well. So missing your stretch forward is going to be interesting as well because he's a shot blocker, he's a good rebounder, and your Dane Altman's crew a little bit shorthanded against a North Carolina team, which is like got a – I think they were like – their rebounding Rodgers was like plus 13, something like that, per game, which is just nuts. And they flashed a stat during that Kentucky game that through the tournament, North Carolina had rebounded like 40% of their own misses, which is – that's just crazy. So that one's going to be a little bit interesting too. So here's how I think most people are probably expecting like a Gonzaga-North Carolina national championship game. So if the flip happens, Mitch Fortner, and it's Frank Martin v. Dana Altman, how interesting does that contest
This is why I'm going to Florida.
So
I'm getting away from this.
You're getting away from it?
It's funny because Dan Halen, who works on K-Rock, brought up the 86 riots, and we're talking about
in Aggieville?
Yeah, in Aggieville. But it was a riot for a good thing.
It was almost for a win.
A championship is for beating KU, right? It happened a couple times, as far as I understand.
There's some older riots than that for like beating Oklahoma in football, which was this is all older than me. We didn't riot when I was in college. We did tear down goalposts because it was the mid 90s, and that was still a thing. We carried them down to the Ville.
Well, any more rioting is done on social media anyway.
Correct.
That's where it's going to happen.
Yes, all the rioting will happen behind a keyboard. That's probably very true.
Because God forbid there's any kind of confrontation between people. In words.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I'm expecting it to happen anyway. If win or lose, you're going to hear about it on social media.
Sure.
But I said this to Tyler yesterday. Hopefully we're able to get over it soon enough and just enjoy what's going on because I'm the biggest Frank Martin fan as well, and I still want him to win.
Yeah.
I don't care what color he's wearing. He didn't leave because he doesn't like K-State.
Right.
He left for another reason. He loves it here.
Yeah. So I want Frank Martin to win. I want Dana Altman to win. I want K-State to win, and I'm perfectly fine with that. So I can justify that. Now, big picture, I'm currently leading the bracket challenge standing, so I need North Carolina and Gonzaga to win just so that I can say that I won because I never win the tournament pool ever. So I don't have a problem with being a K-State fan and still wanting guys that used to be coaches here or used to be players here or used to be whatever here to continue to do well. Like I don't understand where the problem is in that.
Well, and another reason I look at this as an underdog factor.
Sure.
I'm the type of guy that always roots for the underdog.
Sure.
When I don't have a horse in the race, go team that wasn't supposed to be there.
CBS will, by the way, absolutely panic if it's a South Carolina Oregon matchup in the national championship game. That'll be a little bit interesting.
I think the ratings will still be there.
Still
but,
be okay. It'd be a little better if it's Gonzaga.
It might be an Oregon home game.
I suppose that could be. So, all right, man. Well, we'll keep an eye, and then on Monday, of course, we'll be able to break down the national championship game Monday night. So that's the one where all the fun happens. It's where one shining moment plays. The nets are cut down. It's all good stuff.
Good thing opening day for the Royals is in the afternoon, so
you
don't have to battle with
the
championship.
Get them both then. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Mitch's guess on who is going to be the headline slot at WrestleMania. And whether or not we'll actually see him on pay-per-view on Sunday night. That's next on The Game.